Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Underwear time. Gotta sell some. What's this now? Mack Weldon. What are you wearing? Cause Mack Weldon is better. They make underwear, not sweaters. They also make socks and shirts. They're so good and they will not hurt when you put them on because they feel so fine. They've also got Silver Wonderwear line. What's that? It means they're antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor. And you're like, ooh, does this smell? No, they eliminate odor, so the answer is no, sir. If you don't like the first pair, you can keep it, and they will still refund you. No questions asked. Nobody's going to take you to task. I wear them every day. Folks are like, hey, I'm like, get out of my way. I got them on that website. It was so easy to use it. You should peruse it. And my favorite product is the underwear, most definitely. If you see me and I'm naked, I'm not naked. There's underwear on me, and it's Mack Weldon for 20% off your first order. Visit MackWeldon.com. Why? Because it is the bomb. But we have an ad for you and your mom. Off book. At checkout, that's the promo code. Enter off book at checkout for 20% off your first order. Mack Weldon for you and your mom.
So, if you've never listened to Never Not Funny, or just haven't checked it out in a while, now is the time. What is Never Not Funny, I hear you ask? You scream it to the sky. Well, it's comedian Jimmy Pardo's podcast where he jokes around with his sometimes famous and always funny friends. If you're new to the show, why not check out the highlights from Pardcast-a-thon 2018, featuring Conan O'Brien, Tig Notaro, Rory O'Malley, and Paul F. Tompkins. You'll also find Earwolf favorites like Scott Aukerman, Andy Daly, Janet Varney, and Dave Holmes in the mix. Check out Never Not Funny wherever you get your podcasts.
Say.
Producer, it's okay.
He produces the engineering.
He produces these beautiful sounds on the guitar.
Engineer Brett on the guitar.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming out on this Friday evening. Thank you for joining us. Thanks, Dynasty Typewriter, for having us back. This is Off Book, the improvised musical. That's Zach Reno.
That's Jess McKenna. We have a guest tonight.
Guys, we're so excited. You saw his name on the board. You know the deal. But we're so excited to have him here. You know him from SNL, the upcoming ABC sitcom Single Parents, and Look Out for Night School with him and Kevin Hart. It's Taron Killam! What an entry.
We got you a stand, but you can throw it away or keep it or do
I like
it.
My stands as wide as possible.
Yeah.
No, if you're going handheld, I'll go handheld.
All right.
When in handheld land, you go handheld.
Yeah.
How's this?
We're doing it. That's great.
How's that feedback? How's that?
Yeah, we got a little bit.
A little hot.
A little hum on
hot
a drum.
A little hot.
Hi, guys.
That's all right.
So one by one, let's just get everybody's name.
Okay. Yes.
This is one of those shows where it's basically just a memory exercise.
Exactly.
Doing one of those exactly. cool things where you're going
to
remember everyone.
Point to the
everyone.
Three mics in the audience. Mike. Thanks, Mom.
So, welcome to this live podcast.
Thank you for having me here.
We're on mics, we're sitting, there's a rug, but there's all these people.
So many lovely people. What a great space. What a great theater here at the Hayward.
We have a guitar. We've never done that before.
Nice.
What are your thoughts on the instrument, the guitar?
Oh, my God. I can play the first, like, three chords to James Taylor's Sweet Baby James.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Which that are?
Boom.
Good. That's a classic chord.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom.
Yeah.
There is a young cowboy.
I was just going to settle for the names of the chords. Yeah, you went above and beyond.
E, G, D, whatever.
I was like, great.
Let's do it. Zach and I both are products of like sort of hyper-specific music in our homes growing up and not the same. And do you have like a top band that you grew up with where you're like, oh yeah, that's the jam?
Like even if it was just playing in your house, like I for some reason, because my dad listened to basically only Bob Marley growing up.
Very cool.
I know like the lyrics to like deep cut Bob Marley songs, but not the Beatles.
Great.
Michael Reno. Great, sure. You know, he's a lawyer, and he's got a chill
My dad
out.
Is the fucking chillest human on the goddamn...
He's very
a Buffalo
chill.
Soldier.
He's
a Buffalo Soldier.
Here's all... I'm not... Let's not reveal the number, but every time Zach mentions the age of his father, even though I know it, I go, what?
Dude looks good.
76.
No. Younger.
Younger.
But also, you can't see him, so there's no comparison.
No.
There's no comparison to be made.
But anyway, you did definitely have an answer.
Sure. It was very eclectic in my house. For me, Michael Jackson was probably the most important first, because I had parents who were very musically inclined and very eclectic, and then I had two older sisters. So like top two artists per parent, my dad's Bruce Springsteen and like Mark Cohn. Oh. And then my mom is Joni Mitchell and the Beatles. And then my sister Erin is Guns N' Roses and Duran Duran. And then in my mind, Rachel's like Depeche Mode, Cure. And then I was Michael Jackson. So there's a lot happening.
It's all good, though.
Yeah. It's all fun. The first album, like I remember in seventh grade, we had an art teacher, Mrs. Blauer, who allowed you to bring in a CD for like while you sculpted or whatever. And Counting Crows, August and Everything After.
That is my favorite band. And I'm not joking here.
Is there?
And that's a weird band to have as your favorite band,
sure.
But it is my favorite band.
Is there an episode of Off Book where we just sing August and Everything After start to finish?
I mean, there's
step out the front door like a ghost through a fog where no one notices the contrast of white on white.
In between the moon and you, the angels get a better view. Now Jessica knows how I feel
wrong and right.
When she talks to people about Northwestern University.
Yeah, sorry, go Cats.
Bloomers? Do you know Bloomers?
No.
Oh, okay. Except, that may be Penn State. I may be confusing it.
Is that
Forgive
like a
me.
Person or a
Bloomers
like a
Bloomers is
a
Vanessa
hot
Bayer's all-female sketch and musical parody improv theater group, and it's the longest running all-female collegiate sketch and musical parody group in the United
That's
States.
Very
and
good.
If you ever happen to meet Vanessa Bayer, just say Bloomers and she will give you 30 minutes of history.
No. Northwestern is Meow and then the Titanic Players.
I'm so glad I was able to steer us back to talking about Northwestern.
Aren't you so happy?
That was what I wanted. Not to just kind of sit in this like small bubble where I had something in common with someone for once.
It's not like Taryn went to Northwestern. It's okay.
Okay.
All right. But that was I really liked it when you guys were having that moment.
Thank you. No one ever... No one will ever sing Counting Crows with me. I will say this. I saw this one like report and it made me feel very good about myself, but it was also based on nothing, which was like, here's your IQ based on like the lyrics of whatever band you like. And like Counting Crows, because the lyrics are like hyper poetic and very like bizarre sometimes, was like way like I'm apparently very smart because I like Counting Crows. But
we are very smart.
Yes. But it made me wonder, like,
What is the line between, like, poetry and, like, nonsense? Right? At what point is something, like, too, like, deep and dense to be, like, understood?
We travel now to 1959, and we're in a commune full of poets. They're sitting next to a body of water. It's not important. It's not an ocean.
Right.
It's not a lake.
Can I... Hey, guys, can I... I've been writing some stuff down. Can I just kind of, like, run it by you and you tell me, like, if this, like, sparks with you?
Yeah, man.
Speak it. Honest. Speak it.
Sure.
Speak it.
Okay. The water, the ripples rippling, the trees nearby. A breeze rolls in and I am a devil, an angel, a turtle. And everyone's looking and staring and they say, where to begin? And I am the water. And the water is my mom.
I'm too scared to tell him that I don't get it. I'm too scared to tell him. So religious, that was what it said to me. Like, we can be devils and we can be water. Like, water is mist but also ice. And I really like the way you use ripple twice.
I don't know how to tell her she doesn't get it.
Get why we just can't float. Why do we even have to pedal around?
What do you mean? Oh, well, when we rented this 3-person paddle boat to go out on the lake, they said, we only have one of those. Most of them are 2-people paddle boats.
My knees hurt.
Yeah?
I don't have access to the paddles.
No, Peepaw.
I'm at your mercy for the paddling.
And Peepaw, we told you we'd paddle you around.
But I don't get why we can't just get it in the middle of the pond and just sit and watch the sky go by.
Maybe it's a safety thing. They're worried that we're dead. It feels like we should be able to just float if we don't want to paddle.
They're waving at it. We're not done
we're
yet.
We're fine.
We're fine.
We're fine.
We're fine.
Oh, they're
my knees hurt.
I mean, you're not paddling, Peepaw. Why do your knees hurt so? Or do they just perpetually
I'm
hurt?
I'm just crabbed up here in betwixt the seats.
Do you want to switch?
No.
I don't think you could stand in one of these boats. That will be whimsical and bad.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think this wasn't a very good wedding gift for you two.
No.
Oh, Peepaw.
Please.
Peepaw.
Now I feel like a third paddler.
No.
You know,
when you meet your grandchild, you have one simple wish. That he will find a companion. And Scotty, you found a dish.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Thank you.
All of life is floating underneath your feet. And if you find someone to balance, that's the only way you do don't sink.
You're saying we can't float along.
I'm saying you can't.
Oh, great. You're saying we can't float along.
I'm saying you need to hold hands to balance your boat. Makes you float, 'cause that's what love's about. Love's about floating.
Need to hold hands to balance the boat. I get it. Every marriage is like a boat, and you might hit stormy waves. Probably not on a lake, not too many waves on this pond. I mean, maybe in a much bigger lake.
But if you're not ready to balance the sides, if you don't have one on starboard and port, that's just like in a marriage when someone does all the work and no one is there for support.
You can't just float.
A sailboat, a rowboat, a kayak, a catamaran,
a tiny ship in a bottle, one of those bathtub toys,
or an evenly balanced pontoon. But all of them must float. You can't have love without a balance supported by two. I think if that song was about anything, it was about floating.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
a metaphor. And if you don't have someone to float with, you'll just sink.
And I think I really got it. I think, you know, at first when you said maybe this wasn't a good wedding gift, I thought maybe it isn't. He's cramped, his knees hurt. But then when it came with wisdom, it was a great gift.
I had to pay extra for that.
Oh, yeah, you have a little book right here that says Wisdom to Impart While You're On This Boat.
I got it from Papyrus.
Oh, I love
Papyrus.
That company. Really yeah. good.
So many great cards.
Good quality cards. All come with a little fun gold sticker so you don't have to lick the envelope.
Little hummingbird on it.
Little hummingbird.
Like a hummingbird.
Very good.
Oh, boy, here comes the employees.
Splish splashing. Hey, are you done? You done?
No, just kind of floating along. Is it okay if we just float? I mean, you can, but, like, it's a paddle boat.
And now our boss made us come out here to, like, check on this boat, and now we waded through here in waders like people used to go fly fishing.
I didn't realize how shallow this pond
was.
Very shallow.
Like, let me dispel any notion of, like, danger. If you were to fall out, you would basically hit a puddle and then the ground.
Yeah, it would only be whimsical. It wouldn't be dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. Although they say a baby can drown in almost no water, that's why there's no babies allowed on these boats.
I'll never understand his depths.
Anyway, if you guys are okay, I guess we'll go back to shore. I mean, shore is a weird way to call it. We'll go back to the hut.
Splash, splash, splash.
Why didn't you get the boat back? Boat 4 is just sitting out there floating.
It's what they want to do. And, like, who are we to tell them what is a paddle boat for?
Excuse me? Did you just say, what are we to say what a paddle boat is for?
Oh, it's that sharp British man people have been seeing around town. He wears houndstooth.
I did. That's just one of the wisdoms that, like, popped into my head.
What's your name, son?
Me? My given name or the name that I took after I threw that one away?
Yeah, I guess I'll take a fresh one then.
Low fat. First name Low.
You're very intelligent, I can tell.
Thank you.
And I'm here in town visiting because I am a poetry producer.
Whoa. Wait.
And I think I can make you a star.
Oh my gosh.
Are you Simon Houndstooth?
Simon Houndstooth the third.
Whoa! I didn't realize your father had died and passed on the Houndstooth mantle.
Well, my grandfather died, see, and then his son died, my father died.
I knew your grandfather.
So that's why I'm the third.
Right.
But I've just noticed recently there's a shortage of poetry in the world. Do you feel that?
I agree. And I've always felt like I was meant for more than this paddle boat store.
I grew up with a silver spoon in my mouth.
Yum.
But I had a concern. The culture was going down south. Everything got so literal for a while. Then I read some Dickinson, and it made me smile.
He could spread your word. He could spread your word. You got to listen to Simon Houndstooth the third. He could spread your word.
I wanna see you go.
You gotta trust him. Simon Houndstooth the third.
When Simon Houndstooth gives you advice, you take it whether or not you want it. You revitalize the haiku. You revolutionize the sonnet. That's not even a word until Simon Houndstooth the third said it was. And now you see the word revolutionized in every dictionary because he can spread your word.
I wanna spread your word, I do. I wanna spread your word with you and you.
Listen to Simon Houndstooth the third.
I wanna spread your word. Listen, with my help, we could make this global. I wanna take your art and spread it and activate the local vortex of people's minds, of yours and mine. It won't take much time.
We can do it.
All I need is 3 months and one intensive week of writing.
Time to Simon Houndstooth the third.
Then I'll spread your word. Spread your word. Spread
like
your
a mama word. Delivering food to so many baby birds.
Let me spread your word.
boss, I quit.
What?
I quit. Here's my badge and my gun, the water gun. The water gun you give us to keep ducks away.
And I'm sorry to see you go. You're the best damn paddle retriever I've ever known.
You may be sorry to see me go, but you'll love to watch me leave.
It's because everyone looks great in these galoshes.
Which you can keep, actually, because
really?
You paid a deposit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
You had to buy those because no one wants reused galoshes.
I'll keep them to always remember where I came from. Hey.
The paddle boat pond.
Yeah. Here with you. And you.
Susan.
Sorry, not to be a bother,
yeah.
But I do have a lift waiting.
Oh.
That's what they call taxis.
Wait, is there a taxi waiting, or did you pay a Lyft driver to hang out?
It's 1959.
Right. Every once in a while, my brain is so full of poetry that I imagine a future that could be. I have this one crazy idea. Can I tell you about it real quick?
Please.
Okay. Picture a car, and it is a car, but it's also not your car.
What you mean?
It's for anyone to get into, and you take them near and far. It's like a taxi, but unregulated, and there's not a union, and so there are no bargaining rights.
How'd you pay?
And you pay with an app, and an app is another thing that entered in my mind. So, picture this. It's like a book in that it is a lot of information.
I follow.
But it's stored in something much smaller than a book and transmitted so fast it would give you elation.
You're losing me.
And then it's in an iPhone, which, oh boy, let me go back to the start. It's kind of like a phone, but like a computer. A computer is a dream that started in my heart. I dream about the future. The future that will never come true.
So let me see if I follow. You're talking about a car that you can order with a phone that's really a computer from your heart.
Oh my God.
Wow. And if you use this phone and you can zap it, there's no union, but the option to tip is with you.
That's right. And also there's another company that does the same thing, but you cannot tip directly on the app. And it was started by a guy who everyone agrees is an asshole, and he treats all his employees like crap.
If I could add an amendment, I think if you have this app, you should add some sort of a ranking system, like with the stars.
Yes!
And that way, if you know you have a high ranking, you know that you can feel safe when you get in a stranger's car.
It's the future! It's the future! The future, and you totally understand. Inside your hand, that's it. A phone
coming inside your hand.
You have so many good ideas.
Are they? Or are they just weird dreams that will never be?
I don't know. I think I would only get in that car if, like, I could have a mint or something.
Yeah. Anyway, you have a taxi waiting.
That's
we should
right. Should we get back
it.
To your poetry tour?
Yeah. Hey, Susan, are you going to come?
Did you not
even think about it until this moment?
Well, it's just that low fat, I mean, I've never shown you any of my poetry, and
Wait. Are you saying you're a poet as well?
Oh, she's the greatest poet.
Well...
How do you even know it?
Because she gets my poetry. Although, can I talk to you?
Yeah.
I'm not sure she, like, gets it.
Oh my gosh, she thinks I get it.
Hold on, I get it. She's calling
Maybe
me over here real
go.
Quick.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, what are you saying?
No, I think... Okay, yeah, I'll come along, but I don't need to be... I don't need to be some... groupies at the stage door.
No.
Listen.
No.
This is going to sound harsh.
Okay.
But I mean it only with love. It's 1959, and there's absolutely no way in hell
that a female could be a successful poet.
Yeah, honestly, that's why I just scribble them in my own little books and I leave them in the paddle boats, just for people to find if they want, and they're anonymous. And
so all agree to let her tag along, but if she does, atmosphere.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I hope I can, like, see the world or something. Help him, you know.
Whatever.
Okay.
all right, everyone, get inside. Okay. Where to, Mr. Houndstooth?
Yeah, can you take us to the airport, please? We're going to be flying to London Heathrow.
We're flying out of London Heathrow?
We're flying to London Heathrow.
Okay, because I cannot drive you from here to London Heathrow. I could try. We'd drown.
Yeah, well, let's not do that then.
Yeah, sure.
So take us to the local airport.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy a ticket. And then we'll go directly onto the plane from the ticket counter, because it's 1959.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, we're going to go on a plane across the sea?
Yeah. That's like, I honestly never thought I would get this far away from the place I was born.
Welcome on to British Airways.
Ooh.
Here's a towel.
Thank you.
Here's a towel.
Thank you. I'll
take that back.
Okay.
Sure.
And I'll take that back.
What was the towel for?
It's relaxing, mate.
So you
put it on your face.
A towel, yeah.
You know, low fat. I'm going to let you have the window seat.
Really?
Just because I think visuals of what you're about to get could inspire some beautiful poetry.
Oh.
Ooh. Welcome to British Airways. This is your captain. We'll be taking off in just a few minutes here. If you need anything for this flight, please don't hesitate to ask. Just lay back and relax as we soar over the pond.
Welcome aboard. Have a drink. We got mixed nuts and they're hot for you to have. Oh, what do you think? It's 1959 and air travel's a luxury we all enjoy. It's like a cruise in a hot balloon up in the beautiful sky. 1959, the way to fly.
Looking out of this window now and I see the ground going away. I never thought I would see something this magical in all my days.
And look, low fat, the seats they recline.
Whoa. And there's a table in front of me I could use at any time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain and we have reached cruising altitude.
Hooray!
If you
to talk. About your mattress, because it's bad. And the reason that you're finding yourself distracted, forgetting things, and making mistakes at work is because your sleep is not sleep. It's lying down. So get some sleep. And get that sleep on a Lisa mattress, which is the product of more than 30 years of experience in mattress engineering and hundreds of hours of testing. We've talked about it before. You know we love it on this show. It's got those three foam layers that give you cooling, pressure, relief, body contouring, and support. Physical support. Emotional support. You can tell your problems with this mattress. It will listen to you. It's a mattress. Order it online at lisa.com/offbook with the promo code offbook, and you can try it risk-free for 100 nights. It's direct to your door in that convenient wizard box. Free shipping, free returns. I have one. I sleep on it every night. No other mattresses are allowed in my home because this one's so good and it makes my back feel so good and it listens to all my problems. Get up to $160 off the Lisa mattress or $235 off the luxury Sapria mattress and free shipping on the Lisa mattress at lisa.com/offbook and enter promo code offbook at checkout. That's leesa.com/offbook, promo code offbook. So, remember how in a recent episode we posited that the entire universe is just a simulation being run by Jeff Bezos? I'm not saying that's true. I am saying that now we're sponsored by Prime Video Channels. Now, with Prime Video Channels, you can watch and add over 100 channels all on Amazon, no cable required, and you only pay for the channels you want. So, you make your lineup for yourself. If you want to watch just Showtime and Noggin, that's what you can have. If you want to watch just PBS Kids, PBS Masterpiece, and PBS Bird Battles, where it's birds debating each other, that's not real, but it should be, and you should watch it, you can do that. You can access tons of fall content, like the latest seasons of Ballers on HBO, season 9 of Shameless on Showtime, even live NFL on CBS All Access. And all channels start with a free trial, so you can start a 7-day free trial of any channels you haven't tried yet. You can watch your subscription through the Prime Video app on over 650 connected devices or online at Amazon.com. I did this with CBS All Access to watch Star Trek Discovery, a fact that will surprise absolutely no one. And it was very good and very easy, and it made me excited about a la carte video, which is the future and the world that we're moving towards, and Amazon is giving it to you. So take it from them. Take it from them with their free trial, so you only pay for the channels you want with Prime Video Channels. Start your free trials of over 100 channels by visiting tryprimechannels.com/offbook. That's tryprimechannels.com/offbook to start your free trials of over 100 channels with Prime Video Channels. Channels, channels. Prime Video, trials, channels.
Hey, yo! Hey, you gents! Get in here!
All right.
All right, all right, all right. Now, everyone knows it's Tuesday night, meeting of the poet hooligans. And I hear there's a right young new chap who's gonna test out some new verse, if you can believe it.
You talking about that bloke by the name of Low Fat?
Yeah, they're calling him Low Fat. Tipped by the Simon Houndstooth the Third himself.
But he's not even a hooligan.
I know, he's not about street poetry. He's all about that highfalutin, upper class shit. Poetry no one can understand, so what's the point?
Yeah, I always feel like people with a bit more pink outsides in.
Brenton! Like
that's right, Brenton!
We're here to express ourselves in a very real way.
Yeah.
And suddenly they bring out and they're trying to monetize what is an expression of our heart in our art, and they're just getting, and we're supposed to accept that?
Thank you, Brenton! Thank you, because poetry, as we all know, is a means by which we very clearly and very literally express the world around us and the things we see.
That's
and
right.
The feelings that we feel.
So that when somebody reads it, they go, I understand this. Good job.
May I read you my poem that I wrote this morning?
Please do.
Let's hear it.
Breakfast time. I am hungry for beans. And mash. Lunchtime. If I didn't have a big enough breakfast, I'm hungry again for beans, kippers, and mash. And when supper time rolls around, depending on how dark it is outside, and if I realize how late it is, sometimes I won't even be hungry until until 8 or 9 at night, at which point I will be hungry for beans, kippers and mash.
Oh man, I loved it. I love the part where I understood that I've also wanted beans, kippers and mash. And I too like to eat 3 times a day, but sometimes 4.
Yeah.
It's very relatable, but it's also very primal.
That's right. It's about feelings that we all feel and the needs that we all have as human beings that join us together. Well, either of you have a poem you'd like to read?
Yeah, I've got a poem. This is a poem I've been working on. I need new boots because my old boots are bad. And my old boots, they were just hand-me-downs from me dad. And I never got along with the stupid, idiotic, asinine bloke, because he was an asshole who liked Man United, white folks, but also bees,
kippers and mash. Kippers and mash.
I like some bees.
Parts of that. I also have new shoes and I also hate me dad.
I've got old boots and your poem made me wish I had new boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Brendan, you have a bit of poetry you'd like to share with the group?
I do, actually. And it goes a little something like this. Rent's due. I gotta pay the rent. My rent's due. I've got to pay the rent.
You can't pay the rent.
So I guess I'll have to go down to the bank and make a withdrawal. Cause I need me some cash.
What you gonna buy?
Maybe kippers some and mash.
Beans. Kippers and mash.
Kippers and mash.
Some beans. Kippers and mash.
Throw on a tomato.
Said, like, you know, you needed to get money because rent was due, and I was like, you know, everything is rent.
It's relatable.
Yeah. I like the part where you said you were going to eat tomatoes. That's also something I like to eat for breakfast.
Yeah.
Also,
beans on toast.
Yeah.
And blood pudding.
And bangers.
Yeah, and mash.
And mash.
What about kippers?
Love kippers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Sign me up for some kippers.
Now I'm all hungry. We've spent so much time.
Yeah. Oh, I'm starving now. Oh, look, it's 2:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not a normal eating time.
We're in between meals.
We're in between. That's not lunch
nor
dinner, is it?
All right, let's just go get a light snack.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, let me see what I've got in my pantry.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, are either of you interested in some beans, kippers and mash?
Kippers and mash.
I got beans, kippers and mash.
Mash, mash, mash.
Beans, kippers and mash.
Beans, kippers and mash.
Right, so after we eat, though, we're going to go seek divine retribution on this poet.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to come to our poetry meeting, and we're going to see what he's got.
Oh, you've invited him?
No, Simon Houndstooth bought me a bunch of beans, kippers and mash, and so will you let my mate try out some new material at your little poetry gathering?
Well, I think the plan is clear, then. I think it's sustenance first, and then the ruination of this Yankee poet.
Yeah. All right, all right. You want me to say no?
No, you did the right thing.
Because I thought, we got to size him up. We got to see what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, when's he supposed to get here?
Well, it's 2 now. What's a normal time for a poet? It'll be about 9:45, so that gives us
standard poetry time.
Right.
Yeah, it'll give us plenty of time to have a light snack and then a proper dinner.
Okay.
What should we do for dinner?
Well, let me see. Well, we've eaten all the beans, kippers and mash that I've got here, so we'll have to order in. You know what? There's a place around the corner that makes some really good
beans, kippers and mash.
So probably them.
Lil Fat, are you worried about your poem for tonight? You can, run it by me. if you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to. I'd love to run it by you. But it feels unfair for me to just, you know, we learned that in a paddle boat, not because we were in a paddle boat, but working at a paddle boat place.
Yeah.
We learned that, paddle like, you've got to have balance on both sides.
Yeah.
So I'll read you some of mine, but, like, you got to read me some of yours.
Are you saying you'll show me yours if I show you mine?
I mean, I was going to read it out loud, but if you'd rather, like, me show it to you, yeah, you can read it.
Mine are kind of better on the page. I've been playing with, like, spacing and punctuation.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'll give you
alignment.
I'll give you mine here.
And you read mine.
Okay, so I'll read yours. Great. Okay.
Window, 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 seeing the pond below me. I like how my seed goes back. And I am the seed, and you are the seat. We're all the seat of the government. And we're floating through space.
A poor man is born and dies in the town where he's raised. The rich fly like birds on the wings of the tears of the poor. And the wind that bores them forward makes you believe that anything's possible for a rich man. This is very good.
No, it's not.
No, it is.
Is it too simplistic what I'm doing with class? Or is it just simplistic enough to prove the point that class is a construct?
Hold on, read my next one. It's about the table on the back of the sea.
Okay. Table goes down and I put my hot nuts on it. I really like the cashew. The cashew is my favorite cause it looks like the kidney, which is an organ in my body. I am blood and I am veins and I am eating on this tiny table. It's so insane. And if I have a pecan or an almond, I will smile. I really like it.
I don't know. I feel like yours is better, but thank you. Do you get it? Like, do you get it?
I liked the...
Where I put my hot nuts on the table. Like, do you get it? What's this next one about?
That next one is about how sometimes leaving home is hard, but it causes a scar that reminds you who you are. That's the opening line.
Leaving home is hard, and it causes a scar
that reminds you who you are.
When the bird falls from the nest, doesn't fly the first time. It hits the ground and it stays there. And the mother cries from far away, hoping she'll see the day when we can recover from the scars of falling. The scars of falling. This is very good.
No. No, 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 no. Is the mother bird too obvious a mother figure? We all understand fight and flight, but flight is just like falling when you try it at first. But that was my first pass at that verse.
Was it really? I just feel like you are taking in the metaphor of flight in a deeper way than me. I wrote about the table, and I wrote about the hot, hot nuts, and the seat that goes back.
Still speaking altitude, more like his aptitude to fly this plane. At least I hope so, so that I don't die. Never mind, I'll never die.
Did you like the part about I'll never die?
Yeah, I did, and I think that it's good. I'd read all of your poems if you'd let me, if you would.
to a bunch of hooligans. But if you'll let me, I'd like to read them yours instead. A woman in 1959 can't publish poetry, but the world has to read these poems. Let them come from me.
That would be good, and maybe we can agree on a pseudonym, and it will be vague enough so they'll never know if the writer is a she or him.
Let's wake up Simon, or wake do up. We even tell him? I think we should.
I think he hates me.
No, Simon. Simon.
Yes, mate. What's going on?
Well, here, read this poem that I wrote.
All right.
I'll read you the last part of it. I'll read you the last. I won't read you any of it.
Just leaving home.
That one.
Leaves a scar that reminds you of home. When a baby bird first flies.
Yeah, don't read it in order. Just kind of read parts of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't fly the first time.
Yeah.
He hits the ground. This is beautiful, mate. Would you write this?
Would you feel comfortable publishing that?
Absolutely, Lofat.
I didn't write that. A woman wrote that. That woman. No, not that one. That's the stewardess.
Oh.
That woman.
Sorry, miss.
Can I get you anything?
Right.
More nuts.
Can I have some hot nuts?
They're warm.
Oh, no.
Let me make them hot.
No, oh, okay.
Lofat, let me get this straight. You're saying that Susan wrote these poems?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote one that's also very good.
All right, let me see it.
There you go.
Okay. Oh, no, this is terrible,
no.
Mate.
Is it or is it very good?
No, it's really, like, quite literal and on the nose. It's just basically seeing what you see.
That's what I kind of heard the British poets were into right now. But anyway...
We're soaring above the world right now. But Susan, you still managed to turn my world upside down.
Whoa.
I think we've got to change course, mate.
Well, I'll tell the pilot.
Hold up. What? No. Low fat. Come back in your seat.
No, okay.
No, come back in your seat. Sorry, mate. Again, you're going so literal.
Okay.
That's maybe your problem, I think.
Sure.
You might want to explore, like, the figurative a bit more.
Oh.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Or maybe, like, poetry isn't for you, but using your... But... Using your imagination is. Remember when you thought of a computer you can hold in your hand?
That's stupid and will never be.
I have to agree.
But what if you could make it so?
I mean, I don't even know what that career path is called. Inventor? Imagineer? What is it? Like,
I don't know.
Can I tell you something like
Please.
That? I used to be a poet. Aspiring.
We didn't know it.
But I didn't have it either. And when I was walking by the other day and I heard your words, I thought I found something. But only in retrospect do I maybe realize I heard you repeating the words of this true talent right here.
Yeah, that's what happened.
All I ever wanted was to have my words heard, but I couldn't find a simple rhyme for words like word. And I knew in that moment that I didn't have a gift, but now I dedicate my life through talent I sift, and I realize the goods when I see it, and I can tell that you, Susan, you can feel it, you know the words, and you know the score, you paint art with letters. And I think I want more. You got it.
You got it.
Have you been wondering, what's Marvel been up to? Well, Marvel just released Wolverine, The Long Night, their first ever scripted podcast, for free. You can hear it right now, online, or in your podcast app. It starts when a fishing boat is found off the coast of Burns, Alaska. Special agents Sally Pierce and Tad Marshall arrive to find out who, or what, killed the crew. And their primary suspect is a drifter named Logan. Logan is Wolverine. I know this because I'm tangentially familiar with comics. But the local police won't cooperate, and there's more going on in Burns than meets the eye. The podcast stars Richard Armitage as Wolverine. You might know him as Thorin from the Hobbit movies, with Celia Keenan-Bolger as Agent Pierce and Otto Asando as Agent Marshall. And it's featuring Bob Balaban, Scott Adsit, and Chris Gethard. You haven't heard anything like this before. The sound design, acting, and writing are truly amazing. Check it out. Listen to Wolverine The Long Night for free in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And visit WolverinePodcast.com for more info.
Honestly, it's a bit rude. I thought 9:44. This is easy enough for them to make it.
It's 9:47 right now. Like, I know what they're mocking about.
They're multiple minutes late. It's very rude.
It's honestly...
Hey, I'm feeling a bit peckish.
I could definitely go for seconds.
Oh, someone's here.
Hi. Hi, we're so sorry. We're late. We tried to get into a lift, but it was we were calling a taxi.
Which one of you is low fat? Oh, that's me, dude. But I'm not gonna read you any of my poetry.
Good.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Hoodlum League of Poetry.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Hooligan League of Poetry.
Oh wait, can we do a thing that we usually do?
Yeah.
You didn't get us a chance to do it.
Call the meeting to order.
It takes up so much
time. It sure does. We're going to do it real quick.
Oh, Hooligan League of Poetry. Hooligan League of Poetry.
You and you and also me in the Hooligan League of Poetry.
Here are the minutes from last week's meeting. We all met, but instead we had dinner. It was beans and kippers and mash, and we split it all up, 'cause
Creston, please. Ayo, mate, on Saturdays. But Saturdays aren't good for me, cause I got a kick up on my kick, you see. And my kiddie plays football on the Saturday, so it's hard for me to meet up here. So I was wondering if we could push it to Thursday.
Sure, the Hooligan League of Poetry. Hooligan League of Poetry.
We'll push it then as long as we're all free. It's the Hooligan League of Poetry.
And the motion was it seconded. We won't do it on Saturday, so he can kick footy with his son. And now if you have any more to say, I gotta put it down in the record, okay? And also I am starving for beans,
kippers and mash.
That's it.
That's it. Sorry, we just had to.
Nah, it's all right. No, sit down, low fat. There's a whole second part. Hold on.
All right, now we will repeat the reading of the minutes that have just been taken.
Poetry,
Hooligan League of Poetry, Hooligan League of Poetry.
Honestly, sorry. Just, and maybe this is just my like American poet sensibilities going on right now. I really, really like everything that you guys are doing, but first of all, I'm shocked that you, Brendan, have a child. I pegged you as much younger.
All it takes is one, mate.
Yeah. Whoa. 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 You guys really are very good. But like, I'm sorry, I can't wait anymore. You guys just, you have to read this poem, but not
He's
my
right.
poem.
Go ahead.
Susan's poem. Sorry, I feel like you wanted
to... I botched the reveal, didn't I?
No.
I feel like I did.
No, you did.
Sorry, we talked about this in the lift.
Yeah, but honestly, I started daydreaming about, like, what if there was another shared form of transportation, but it's just scooters and bikes that are left out on the street? Just out there. But you can't just take them. You need, like, permission.
It's good.
So I didn't pay attention when we were talking about that. You do the reveal.
Well, no. I present to you the Hooligan League of Poetry, the most influential poetry league in all of London, possibly the world.
Right.
The future of poetry, Miss Susan Bobbycock.
Oh, wow. Hi.
Susan, read the one about the paddle boats.
Oh, I don't know.
They're ready.
Okay, thanks. Sometimes if you don't balance out the starboard and the port, when one person does all the work and floats without support, your boat won't be able to drift upon the glass and will not weather the wave's great task. You can't float unless you have love. You can't float unless you have love, and not a simple love like a simple boat that you paddle with an oar. Make your love bigger, make your boat more.
Just for comparison, so you can see how that poem was fine, let me just crack open my book right here and read you one of mine. This poem is called Galoshes, and it is about galoshes that I have and am wearing to this day. Oh, galoshes, you're uncomfortable in the heat. And galoshes, people stare at me on the street. So marshes, less so on brick pavement.
galosh, galosh, galosh.
I don't know what to say. I liked the first one very much, but I also like yours because it's like ours, but it made me feel out of touch. Hers made me feel something about the feelings in between. And maybe we have been too simplistic in what we wrote and what we mean. Like maybe that poem about me, Dad. I should actually write a poem about me, Dad. And not bail out on my feelings about me, Dad. To talk about what I'd like to eat with my mates, I should fuck around with my feelings about my dad. You can't fuck without love.
You can't fiends, kippers and mash.
You can't
fiends, kippers and mash.
I don't know how to say that I don't think poetry's right or wrong. It's not that way. It doesn't have a lot of objectivity. I like what you did and also what's for me.
Me too, but I think you were right. I think my life is a different path. Like just now in my head, I imagined another app. It's still a car, but inside the car there's food from around the world, and they bring to your door if you're a boy or you're a girl, and you can buy it with money as long as you've got that green. You can order what you want, like maybe you can get some mash, campers and beans, but without love
you can't float. You can't float without love.
I guess a girl can be a poet.
I always know it. The end! Oh my god.
Thank you so much for coming out. Close your eyes very quickly. And I'm going to say imagine, but for those of you here, you'll know that this is just what's actually happening. You have just witnessed a fully staged production of Poetry, 1959, the musical. We had all the costumes and all the sets, and we're going to bring out all of the people that were responsible
for
that.
Welcome out to the stage, the entire cast and crew of Poetry 1959.
Here they come. We've got the director, the costume designer, the scenic designer.
Wow, do we have enough room? Do we need more chairs?
All the actors here, they're all sitting down. So we have a microphone up at the front, and we're going to do just a town hall style talk back. If anyone has any questions for any of the actors, writers, directors, any people here, we have a microphone right down here, and all you
don't
have to do is
shy.
Come up.
We'd love some honest feedback, because obviously we're in the workshop stages. So.
And so, like, yeah, just come up, and we have time for a few questions here. So, yeah, just let us know who your question is for.
And I do appreciate you all. You know, we talked about, should we have an intermission, and we said no. So we do appreciate that. Yeah, go for it.
Hold on one clip. I want to make sure that we get this microphone working. Yes. Do. While we're working on that, here, come up over here for me. Who's your question for?
My question's for the set designer. I wanted to know what it was like making all of the paddle boats and the taxi and moving on and off stage, and what it was like, especially kind of as the main character, one of the main characters, is visualizing all the future stuff, what that was like to just make that on the fly and move it in and out.
Excellent question. Yes, thank you so much.
Do you want to take this, Gunter?
Yeah, it's. I come mostly from minimalist theater where the space should become the world and not the world fills the space. Does this make sense? So that's why when you saw the paddle boats, they were all just like, you won't believe this, they were actually empty tubes from wrapping paper. And each paddle boat was made up of roughly 5,000 tubes from the middle of wrapping paper. It was incredibly wasteful, but I demanded it because there was no other way. Because what is a paddle boat? A paddle boat is something you sit in the middle of that keeps you from sinking in. And if you've ever seen a roll of wrapping paper without the tube in the middle, that's what happens to it. It looks like a flat tire. And so I said, get me 40,000 rolls of wrapping paper, unspool them, throw the paper away. I don't care what happens to it. I don't want to know. If I find out, I'll be furious. And then we stapled them all together.
Wow.
Wonderful question. Thank you
Great
so
question.
Much. And also, thank you for Gunter for supporting so many of our children in the wrapping paper drive yeah. over the summer.
Don't tell him. Don't tell him.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
I have a question for the writers. When you guys got the sponsorship offer from Lyft and Limelight, I was wondering kind of like what was the process you went through to figure out how you could fit that in? It makes no sense.
Honestly, I thought it was very easy and blended very well, and we love our sponsors at Lime and Lyft. One of the big shout out to them. You should definitely use Lyft and not the other one, Uber. It's run by an
asshole. Honestly, it used to be in the script way more, and they asked us to pair it back because they're humble and kind.
They're humble and kind. We thought, okay, like what is a perfect, but like thematically, right? 1959, poetry, and this. What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Lyft.
You fucking hacks.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Marcus, the original writer. These two were brought on after my
and
original workshop.
We told you you could come here, yeah. And that was nice of us.
Yeah,
my original vision.
Offering you an olive branch to come out here.
Was about the renaissance of art in the late 50s, early 60s, particularly in London town, dealing with, the boom of British pop, the movement of modern art, and originally it focused primarily on a cannery worker out of Liverpool, and how he had to sell his body for clay money. But the machine is bigger than all of us, and I had to surrender. But at a certain point, come to terms with the fact that I am the godfather of this project. And no matter what horribly disfigured, disgusting mutation
okay,
it turned into,
honestly, it's very...
it will always be my baby.
Well, yeah, the theater is all about collaboration. So we took that really sad, sad, boring seed that everyone would have cried and walked out of and no one would have funded, and we turned it into this very uplifting thing.
Thank you, Lyft. Thank you, Lyme.
Thank you, Lyft.
Also, I still have points in the show, so I'm fucking set.
Go for it.
Hi. My question is for the Duck Union rep. I heard there was a bit of an issue with the use of water guns in the production.
Yes, hello.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is the Duck Union rep,
duck.
But I am the animal handler. My name is Sanchard. And if you could hold your applause, it is a live animal. Respect the live animal.
I'm a duck, and I'm in charge of all the other ducks. And we didn't like the water guns because... when he sprays our faces with them, it's very scary to us. And if maybe we were big like a goose, we wouldn't be as afraid of him. But we're not big like a goose. So we asked if the scenic designer could take the water guns and make them less scary, and he made them out of a series of toilet paper wrappers.
Yeah, it turned out that I miscalculated exactly how many wrapping paper rolls we'd need, and they were left over for squirt guns. And honestly, me and Clucky...
Uh-huh. My name's Clucky, and some people think that that's a chicken's name, but that's small-minded. Because I choose who I am, you know? That's my choice that I make.
And actually, it was when we met Clucky that we did add to the script that the original poet changed his name to Low Fat. That was actually a contribution
from
you.
Thank you.
I think we have time for one more question. Thank you so much.
I have a question for the composer. So obviously, as we all know, when Beat and Skippers and Mash became like a number one hit, a bunch of artists did covers of it. I just wanted to know which cover was your favorite.
We really disagree on this. Yeah. We all...
I'll be honest, I loved the Counting Crows version.
Yeah.
And I think... I do think we do have time to sing that for you. This is the...
It used to be a little bit longer. And it used
we
to
actually have the Counting Crows here. Welcome them out to the stage.
Hey... Give it up for the cast and crew of Poetry 1959. My name's Adam. I'm the lead singer of the Counting Crows. I woke up hungry. Empty cupboards. I grab a box and then I reach for another. Something catches my eye, and it makes me feel happy inside. It's Beans, Kippers and Mash.
Can I do a verse?
This is Doug.
I'm Doug.
Durant.
Doug Durant. All right, here we go.
Take it, Doug. Some days can't even wake up, can't even wake up. But I look in my eyes and I see that I feel I'm
Smash, smash, smash.
We hope you've got the means.
Good night!